Ladies and gentlemen, it's Tuesday night. You all know what that means. That means it is time for another episode of Navy by Nature. We know you're all excited. We're all pretty excited too. And we're excited because we've got just some really good stuff to talk about tonight. Julian Burton joins me from Tallahassee, Florida. Julian Burton, how you doing?
I am doing great, Gray. I am doing very, very great.
That is great to hear. I can't think of another adjective to place in there besides great.
Yeah.
Hey, man. So let's talk a little bit, you know, about what we're going to talk about tonight.
Yeah, we've got a schedule outlined.
We got a schedule outline, but, you know, and I feel like we've got some, I feel like this is going to be a great podcast.
I concur 100%.
So, first thing on the schedule that we need to do is acknowledge that neither of us watched the first episode of The Bachelor Pad.
Yeah, it's true.
Eh.
I actually completely forgot about it.
I didn't forget about it, I just did not want to watch it.
Yeah, we've kind of had a discussion that we need to reassess our plan. We may still watch it. But up till now, we've been a little bit half-hearted, you know, about our Bachelor Pad interest.
I still think we should. I think that this episode, you know, it's all about the people coming in, and they're like, oh my gosh,
yeah.
I really hope that Jason doesn't come back, because we
look who comes
to the door, Jason. And everyone's like, I can't believe he came back. And
oh my gosh, Jason is here.
He's on the prowl. And he's just slapping women's asses, and it's just, you know, it's madness. The whole thing is madness.
Yeah.
So I think we can both agree that the first episode is just a little bit over the top. And I think that if we started watching, again, we haven't agreed to start watching, but if we started watching next week, we'd probably capture everything we needed to know.
Yeah, I mean, they'll probably give us a 10-minute recap at the beginning of the episode anyways.
Which is all we need. So let's do this. Let's make a commitment to think about watching the first episode next,
like,
the second episode next
I like
week.
That commitment.
We're going to think about it.
We're going to think hard. We're going to make a very, very wise, educated decision.
Ladies and gentlemen, I can promise you I'm going to think long and hard about watching that episode.
Me too.
I actually don't know. I don't know if I can make that promise.
I'm scheduling the rest of my week, and every day I have think hard about whether or not I'm watching Bachelor
Pass. How much time of the day have you allotted?
An
hour each day of meditation, yeah, over possibly watching The Bachelor.
Yeah. Meditation and fasting.
Meditation. you have to approach The Bachelor Pad with purity.
Yeah.
Purity.
I know.
You can't come in a different way. Julian, next on our list is let me outline the list so that listeners
know
when they want to come in. The first thing that we wanted to do was acknowledge that we didn't watch the first episode of The Bachelor Pad, which we've done. Second thing that we're planning on doing is talking a little bit about UNC basketball in the offseason.
Yep.
And then we're going to briefly touch on the Baylor investigation and maybe some implications that it has on the rest of the college basketball world. And then we're going to launch into what will probably be the most significant and time-consuming topic of the week, and that's the potential MLS team for the Triangle. And if you don't know what we're talking about right now, stick around and find out, because it's very exciting.
It is very exciting.
And then we have a few questions that we're going to ask each other in the same fashion that we've done the last few weeks. So if you found those entertaining, stick around until the end, because we have a couple of those that I think are going to be pretty fun.
Pretty mind-blowing.
Again, we've already established that we've checked off number one.
Yes.
Let's talk about UNC basketball. Julian, tell me what's going on with UNC basketball these days.
Well, we heard recently, fairly recently, since the last podcast, that James Michael McAdoo is returning for his sophomore season, which is very important for the Tar Heels. We are going to be
potentially
starting two freshmen. And although McAdoo was, you know, not playing a whole lot this past year, You know, all the information about him says he has a lot of potential, and he did show some signs that he could be a very good player. I'm not sure how long it will take him to really be a force down there, but we're certainly in a much
better dominant force.
Right. But sure. We're certainly in a much better situation than we could have been having him there.
Yeah. No, I agree. And it's like you said, it's the alternative of starting two freshmen, and now we have at least a player who's given some quality minutes and quality games.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy played in the NCAA tournament, for goodness sake.
Yeah, and he had a couple of big games.
Huge minutes in the ACC tournament when John Henson was hurt.
Yeah.
So the guy knows how to play, knows how to contribute. He'll be a starter. He'll have 30 minutes a game. He has to.
Yeah, there's no other option.
Right.
Hopefully he doesn't get hurt.
So in the latest update with Alex Oriaki is that he has narrowed his list of five or so schools that Missouri and Kentucky are pretty high on his list, but that he's agreed to take visits to UNC and Duke as well.
Yeah. I saw that.
I don't know. I think we're going to see this one play out. I mean, like, I think that this guy has got – and again, just for the listeners who aren't familiar, Oriaki is a player who has previously played for Connecticut. Connecticut is banned from postseason play next year. It's much in the same right as the Tar Heels are banned from postseason play in football next year. And there's a stipulation from the NCAA that if a ruling like that is cast upon a school, that anyone has the right to transfer schools without having to sit out a year. So
I think it's maybe limited to upperclassmen.
It could be limited to upperclassmen. You might be right about that. I apologize if I wasn't clear.
There you go.
So if Alex Oriaki, which Connecticut has been banned from postseason play next year because they cheated in basketball and life, then
it was academic ineligibility, right? I think they just had really bad grades. I don't know if they cheated.
Was it?
Yeah.
But that's cheating.
Well, I don't know if it's cheating or just doing really bad.
Wow.
I think their academic results were so bad.
They weren't cheating enough.
Is really what the problem was.
they needed to hang out with Kentucky a little bit. Maybe that's why Alex Oriaki is considering Kentucky. He was like, "Listen, I could not get the support that I needed cheat wise at Connecticut." Yeah. So I need to.
He didn't want to go to Syracuse because they get caught there. They get caught cheating there. Right. He was like, "I need to go somewhere where they don't get caught cheating." Here we go, Kentucky.
Kentucky.
That's somewhere they don't get caught.
Kentucky.
Anywhere in the SEC, really. And then the only school in the SEC that plays basketball is Kentucky. So,
there you go. Florida.
Florida does. That's true. We'll give Florida. And maybe, I'm not going to give Vanderbilt. I'm not going to put Vanderbilt out there. Even though they're normally in the tournament.
Brad Tinsley.
Yeah.
That's my man. I love him. So anyway, Alex Oriaki is said to make visits to all of his allotted schools, and they have been very complimentary of the Tar Heels, and having an upperclassman start with James McAdoo, we have been told that that's been part of Roy Williams' pitch to James McAdoo and Oriaki both, that they could come in and play together and be a good complement to one another, and seeing that that is, we know that that's what Roy Williams has been telling James McAdoo, and that he has returned. You could draw the assumption that it's helped him decide to return because, you know, he sees the possibility of them playing together. Yeah. So,
and I mean, I wouldn't blame, if McAdoo wasn't coming back, I wouldn't blame Oriaki for not coming here. Because, I mean, it would have been tough for him to come in and be the only forward on our team.
If
his goal is really to play, you know, postseason basketball, coming to Carolina without McAdoo on the team would have been pretty risky.
Coming to Carolina is always a great decision because they have so many connections.
That's true.
Even foreign basketball leagues.
Yeah, but no, you're but, right. I mean, and even like a lot of our guys are always taken care of. A lot of them are coaching now. A couple of them on staff at UNC. But I mean, but still, he has mentioned a lot that he wants to play in the tournament. That's the main reason he's leaving UConn. So, I mean, it would have been risky. I mean, we surely would make the tournament, I would think. But in terms of really making a run without McAdoo, it would have been
not likely. Sure. Yeah. UNC is also pursuing a few South Carolina prospects now.
I saw that.
Since South Carolina is switching coaches. Anton Gill, former Charlotte prep school or private school standout, who went to South Carolina, is thinking about transferring to North Carolina, which I think is a great move. You know, we have Bryce Johnson and Joel James committed from this class. But when you think about possibly McAdoo and Oriaki leaving after this year, again, a transfer that agrees to come this year would have to wait a year and then play the next year. We're looking at potentially having a slate of, again, two freshmen. I mean, they'll be sophomores, but they haven't played very much. And having some depth in the post would be great.
Yeah. Well, now, I mean, he's only played 1 year, though. So, I mean, he's not going to be a star right away, even though he would be in his third year in college.
No, he's not. But, you know, the Heels have a commitment for 2013 for a freshman that we're talking about this year, the year after presumably James McAdoo and Alex Oriaki leave.
Well, definitely Oriaki. Well, assuming
right, definitely Oriaki and most likely James McAdoo. Isaiah Hicks, a five-star power forward coming in. Possibly a five-star power forward in Julius Randle, who is an instant, immediate impact player. But, you know, you got to say, if you don't have those, if you don't have Randle, then you've got Joel James and Bryce Johnson, and having another post player there could be great. So whether that says something about the Randle recruitment or not is yet to be determined, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Roy Williams likes to have four post players. He likes to rotate.
Yeah.
Who doesn't? Who doesn't? Right?
He also likes to have, like, a stud point guard. I mean, he likes a lot of things. And Marcus Paves actually just had foot surgery, but apparently it went well.
I mean,
he said apparently he's ready. He's gonna be ready to play in June.
Great.
So
great. Just don't even wait till you get to Carolina to get hurt. Just go ahead and get hurt before.
Yeah, get it out of the way.
Just get it out of the way.
It was only a stress fracture. It wasn't anything like super serious, but
sure.
You don't like to see.
You understand what I'm saying is that if Roy Williams, you know, ideally wants to roll four forwards, power forward centers, and he's entertaining transfers. He's hedging his bets. He's preparing to have four, sans Julius Randle, in case Julius Randle decides not to come to Carolina. Now, we all hope that
he does.
Well,
yeah, you know, there's so many things that can happen.
He's the best forward in the country, so we hope that. But anyway, I think it's smart. I think it's smart. I think Gill's a good fit, and I think he would do well in Carolina's system, and he's a Charlotte guy, and you know, we'll see what happens. Just see what happens. So, So that's kind of the state of UNC recruiting, right? I mean,
yeah.
Is there anything else going on?
I kind of wanted to discuss in terms of the dynamic of next year's team, really who we feel like is going to be stepping up as leaders of the team. And I mean, I think my first instinct is that, you know, Dexter Strickland is going to be the natural leader of that team.
He's
going to be the senior, and he's
the senior. Playing wise, he's the senior. Leslie McDonald would also be a senior, and
yeah, but I see Dex as being a more of a vocal player, and I than Leslie. And I feel like even when he was hurt, I felt like he was still someone that was encouraging to the team,
right?
And still a leader on the bench.
So let's talk about this. Do you give me a percentage? Do you think Dexter Strickland will start at point guard?
A percentage of the time or a percentage chance he'll be the starting point guard?
Percentage chance, day one, he'll be the starting point guard.
That's an interesting question. I think he's going to start.
100% chance you think he's the day one starting point guard.
I think he's the day one starter. I don't know if he starts at two or one.
No. I'm talking about one.
I know. So my point is that I am 100%, well, I really think Dexter's going to start. Is he going to start at point guard? I think it's 50-50, honestly. Marcus Paige seems like he's someone that could come in right away, and we don't really have another option. And so I think Roy's going to go ahead and say, like, this is our guy. Let's go ahead and start playing him from the beginning.
I hear what you're saying. I understand that. I think what Roy's going to do is have Dexter play point guard for the preseason, and hopefully Marcus Paige would be ready to take over as starting point guard and playing starting point guard minutes in ACC play, and then Dexter Strickland shifts over to the two, Reggie Bullock shifts over to the three, and Leslie McDonald takes a place on the bench.
Yeah, I just feel like I understand that argument too, but I just feel like it makes sense. If we want Marcus Paige to be the starter come ACC play, let's go ahead and start him when we're playing these nubby teams in the preseason.
I get it. I don't see Roy Williams doing that.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't. I mean, even like, but I'm thinking back to past situations. But the thing was, we've always had, you know, an older point guard like a Bobby Fraser who wasn't a superstar, but he could run it. And I guess that's what you're saying Dexter will be.
That is my argument. That's my argument.
And maybe that's what's going to happen. But because Dexter is not a true one anyways, I feel like... It's more likely than it has been in the past that Roy will start Marcus Paige. I see what you're saying. And I do hope they get it figured out before ACC play, whether Marcus starts at the beginning of the year or not. I would like that transition to happen before we start playing the ACC.
Yeah, it's very possible that he could end up not being the starting point guard this year.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Strickland can play point guard. He can come in and play backup minutes. Dexter can slide over to the two and play some. Leslie McDonald, Reggie Bullock, PJ Hairston, JP Tokoto could all split minutes at three. And, you know, Bryce Johnson, Joel James, James McAdoo, Alex Oriaki, some combination of those people could handle the post. There's a lot of things that could happen.
The nice thing is that we have options.
Yeah, no, what I think is going to happen, and this is just me going on record saying, as of today, April 10th, 2012, what I think is going to happen is that I think you're going to see us roll out the first game in the season, a starting rotation of Dexter Strickland, Reggie Bullock, and either PJ Hairston or Leslie McDonald, depending on Leslie's rehab status. Maybe PJ Hairston.
It's going to be Leslie.
But then again, Dex might not be ready. You know, Dex just tore his ACL in
January. Yeah, but his recovery has been great, though, apparently.
Apparently. So
he's been able to run around and stuff.
So anyway, my projected starters is then James McAdoo and Alex Oriaki inside.
So, okay. Let's go ahead and project Oriaki down there.
No, that's my projection.
Okay, so you think that's what's going to happen?
I do. I feel good about it.
Okay, I mean, I hope so. I'm going to agree with you, except I think Marcus is going to start.
You think Marcus day one starts?
Yeah.
And that shifts Dex over to the two?
Yeah. And then Reggie starts. Reggie.
So you've got Leslie and PJ Hairston coming off the bench?
Yeah.
Okay. And JP Tokoto playing scrappers minutes?
Yeah. Playing freshman Jackie Manuel minutes.
Sure. And okay. I buy that. I still think that's a competitive team. Do we think that team wins the ACC?
You know what? I'm going to say yes. I know.
I like your enthusiasm.
I've been thinking about this, and I mean, basically, NC State has a lot of talent. We know that. But we are older than them still. And just based on our own experience the last 3-4 years of the freshmen that have played for the Tar Heels, they haven't been that good their freshman year. So, I mean, like, I'm basically putting the, what is that called? The, what is it in court when you're, like, burden of proof on NC State?
On NC State, right.
Yeah. So I'm saying until their freshmen prove that they're able to play, I'm putting
the
it.
The last great recruiting class for NC State was the 2009 recruiting class with TJ Leslie, Lorenzo Brown,
Ryan Harrow,
the guy that ended up transferring to Kentucky.
I know.
And UNC's recruits have proved in summer workouts that they're better than them. They have taken an onus upon themselves to destroy them completely and fully. And they've done so. Now, we don't necessarily have a set of recruits coming in to battle NC State's recruits this year, but you're saying that you think the summation of our entire team is ready to stand up and challenge NC State and say that we're better than them, even though they're getting the publicity of the ACC.
Yeah, I mean, I think our guards are going to be really good. And, I mean, that's where – I mean, Leslie is a four, so, I mean, he's going to be powerful. But the other guys are guards. And I think we've got Dexter. I mean, I just said Leslie's not going to start. But, I mean, Leslie's going to be a really good player this year. And I
agree.
Mean,
I hope so. I really hope so. You and I both watched him last year during the NC Prime in the summer right before he tore his ACL.
Yeah.
And he looked amazing. I mean, that guy could hit a shot from anywhere on the court.
Yeah.
If he could get back to that form, he will be a fantastic player.
So, I mean, I put our juniors and senior guards against their five-star guards. And Lorenzo Brown's not a freshman. But I'm saying, I put our guards over theirs, even though they're supposed to be that good.
No, I hear you. I hear you.
So, I mean, I'm glad that everyone's picking them ahead of us. I think that's great. I hope everyone keeps doing that.
One thing we know is that Roy Williams hates NC State.
Yeah. But he's subtle about it. I mean, kind of subtle about it. He's not like a Tom O'Brien that,
well,
you know.
He makes, awful remarks in the media.
Right. I mean, it is clear enough that he hates NC State. He doesn't try and stir the pot necessarily, but you know that in the locker room.
Right, that's the best way to say it. Yeah. And I think that's good. I think that there'll be motivation for that game.
And I don't think Duke. Go ahead.
I was gonna say I just don't think Duke brings anything significant.
I think they will though. You know, I think they will
They always do.
Every year we're like Duke's gonna be bad this year, and they end up being a one seed. In the tournament. I mean, they're not unbeatable, of course.
Hey,
but
Duke,
they end up...
They always do, and then they end up losing on the first weekend.
Oh, I agree. But in terms of... You can't say they're not bringing anything if
and
they
the
still
reason,
end up a one or two seed.
The reason why is that Duke's style of play lends itself to close games, because if you shoot 5,000 three-pointers a game, you have the chance to play a game close. And so they'll beat a lot of teams. First of all, they'll play a horrible non-conference schedule, okay? They'll be, 18-0 going into ACC season, so they'll be in the top 10.
Yeah.
And the top 10 is incestuous. Once you're in, you're in. And unless you lose, if you lose to somebody in the top 10, it doesn't matter.
Nope.
You're still in. You have to lose to a couple teams in a row outside of the top 10 to be out.
Yep.
And Duke's style of play and Mike and Coach K gets the most out of all of his players. And
they play
really good defense.
They play really good defense. They play hard.
And they'll jack a ton of threes. And
jack a ton of
threes. Some points, and they'll win close games because he's a great coach. He is. And a horrible human being, but a great coach. And they'll be, 13-3, 12-4 in the ACC. They'll be right there.
Yeah. So you just argued with yourself based on your initial statement.
I agree.
Right.
I think that they'll not have that talented of a team, but they'll end up a 2 seed, but then they'll lose in the first weekend of the tournament.
Yeah.
Or a 3 or a 4 seed and lose in the first weekend of the tournament.
Yeah. And I think we are going to be a 2 or a 3 and maybe make a run.
Make a run. Elite 8, maybe.
Yeah. I think that's...
Similar to last year. Not this year, but last year.
Yeah.
I see it. I like it. I see it and I like it. Next thing on the list, let's talk about Baylor a little bit. Explain to the listeners out there the implications of the Baylor investigation. Not the implications, but the specifics of the Baylor investigation. For everyone who's listening, the University of Baylor in Texas is under NCAA investigation in both of their men's and women's basketball programs. Most notably, their women's basketball program has just won the NCAA tournament, going 40-0 this season, and their men's team made it to the Elite Eight or something like that. So... They're a successful
program.
Yeah,
they were a 2 seed in the tournament and lost to Kentucky in the Elite Eight. Baylor did, the guys.
Sure.
Yeah. So they were good.
Julian, what are the allegations that face this successful Baylor program?
Well, from what I understand, it's basically been in the recruiting of some of their stars, including the really tall girl. What's her
Brittany
name?
Griner.
Griner. There's been a whole bunch of...
Who's actually a man.
Yeah. There's been a bunch of text messages and phone calls that were breaking recruiting rules, basically. During the recruiting, a bunch of the players that were on these two teams that did so well this past year. That's the gist of it. I mean, it's...
So, just to let everyone know out there who's unfamiliar with the recruiting requirements, obligations, and parameters, there is a certain number of times you're allowed to call a recruit, certain number of times that a coach is allowed to visit a recruit, and now that text messaging and social media has become a large part of contacting young people these days, the NCAA has had to work in a policy about that kind of communication, and they did so for text messages, and apparently Baylor just blatantly overran this text message parameter.
It was by a lot.
Sure.
Like, I want to say, like, 2,000 or something over what they were supposed to.
So what I'll say is that, and the best case study is John Wall, is that Baylor was one of the final three teams for John Wall. John Wall is one of the most prized recruits in the nation. Number one point guard. Kentucky, NC State, Baylor. And it wasn't just John Wall. It was really a lot of prized top recruits who ended up going Kentucky also had Baylor in their final three or final five.
Mm-hmm.
And so Baylor, to me... They're showing signs of they're ready to play the game.
Right.
They're ready to play the hard game, hardball. And
well, that's assuming that everyone else is playing that game.
Yeah, well, also John Wall's AAU coach was given an assistant coaching position at Baylor. Even though he didn't choose to go to Baylor, it did ensure Baylor got an official visit from John Wall.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
It doesn't look good.
That's the story. The story is that those things were given in exchange for one another, and it was. And when you look at who Baylor was in the final five for recruits that were in the top 20 in their class, they're there for a lot of recruits, and not a lot in numbers wise, but like a lot of recruits that also had Kentucky and high prize recruits that were. Kind of like we talked about Nerlens Noel last week, influenced by outside sources. And so it just doesn't look good. I mean, what it looks like is Baylor is playing the game. They're trying to do what they need to do to get ahead and to play well.
Well, and, I mean, they're not a school that, you know, has a lot of the history behind them, in terms, especially
right.
in basketball. So, I mean,
right.
they probably... They may, you know, it's not moral, but they probably feel like they need to do something to give themselves an edge.
Right, but it is illegal. I think
right, no, of course. I mean, you
doing,
shouldn't be able to do that.
It's proven that, like, textually what they've been doing is illegal. I think it goes way beyond that. Julian Burton, do you think that the investigation of Baylor's text messaging then... produces anything else implicating any other schools?
Oh, I mean, certainly could. If you look at how many allegations came out after North Carolina got investigated for a lot of the agent-related stuff in football, I mean, there was a ton of stuff that happened. So, I mean, certainly if the NCAA sees this kind of thing, especially with the Baylor, there definitely could be more. There definitely could be more investigations. What I would be worried about as Baylor is the NCAA, again... may not really care about coming down hard on Baylor's basketball program. Just like, you know, I mean, it's subjective, but we had argued that, you know, if North Carolina was Alabama, or if North Carolina was one of the big SEC schools, maybe the investigation wouldn't have been as harsh, or,
right.
you know,
right.
Basically all the, everything that got taken away from us, the bowl ban, everything, maybe wouldn't have been as harsh if it was a huge money football program. So Baylor not being a huge money basketball program, maybe they're going to be an example for this, you know, for this aspect of breaking the rules.
Well, I think that kind of playing off of what you just said, I don't think if Baylor's going to lie down and just take what they're given. I think that they're going to kind of lash out and implicate other schools and kind of provide information to the NCAA about other schools.
Which you think is, that they? Why do you think they would do that?
Because why would they suffer the consequences of actions that are being reciprocated by other schools?
I mean, but I feel like if they're doing that, they're admitting guilt at the same time.
Well, if they've already, I mean, if it's clear that they're going to be found guilty, and then do they, I mean...
It's also assuming that they know that they know this is happening in other schools. Maybe they do. I don't know how the network works.
Well, I have to imagine that if they have illegal text messages to recruits that ended up going to other schools or ended up going to Baylor or what have you, that they have additional information about those particular recruits, maybe the ones that ended up going to places like Kentucky, and, you know, they're saying, well, why are we being punished? You know, like, that's not fair. We're all the only ones being punished for crimes that are happening across the board. Like, we're looking to...
But we don't know they're happening across the board. I mean...
That's true.
You say what you want about Kentucky. I mean,
you could say that if it were true.
If it were
you
true,
you could say that Baylor would have an axe to grind.
Yeah, but I think that might be a lot, you know, easier said than done in terms of implicating other schools. And I mean, the schools that you're going to name like Kentucky, and we know a lot of people kind of have a negative view about Kentucky right now.
NC State.
Maybe. I don't feel quite as strongly about NC State as you do. But regardless, especially at least with the Kentucky example, they don't have to do illegal text messaging to get players to go there right now. They have other ways, and they have a strong history. They've won a bunch of national championships. They have a coach that puts people in the NBA. They're putting together super teams. I don't think they need to...
No, I understand that. I understand that. I don't think that illegal text messaging is how deep this rabbit hole goes, is what I'm saying. And I know that that's conjecture, but that's just what I believe. I think that that is kind of what... That's the tip of the iceberg. And I think that once the NCAA gets in there, regardless of whether they find other things or not, there are other things in there that implicate other schools. Bigger malfeasances that implicate other schools. And that's just the way that I feel about it. I think that there's a very dark, shadowy elephant graveyard, to use a Lion King analogy, of college basketball. And I think that there is a couple of schools that choose to make their bed in the elephant graveyard, and I think that, you know, if any one school in there is found out or is, you know, punished, therefore, that they, well, you know, what reason wouldn't they have to kind of rat out everyone else who's playing the same game?
Yeah.
That's me. That's me.
No, that's fine. That's me. I understand. I also have this giant cockroach on my wall right now. A giant cockroach on my wall.
Maybe an omen. It's maybe an omen.
I think he might be a flyer. That's why I'm really nervous right now. Oh, he's so big.
You mean in the studio that you're in?
Right.
We should really think about changing studios, because you should. I know the Tallahassee studio.
I can't change studios right now.
Radio Tallahassee is not the greatest studio possible.
There's so many cockroaches here.
Do you need to take a break?
Huh?
Do you need to take a break?
I might just need to kill them real quick so that...
Why don't you step away while I introduce our MLS branding contest?
Okay.
Sounds good. Ladies and gentlemen, Julian is stepping away because he has got some inter-office business to take care of. He'll be back in just a second.
Yeah, I don't even... Can I mute my microphone? I don't know.
Do whatever you need to do. I've got plenty to talk about. All right, I can do this whole thing on my own.
Go ahead and talk.
So, Julian's taking off his... Okay, so what? Now Julian has microphones off. Well, Julian doesn't know that I could basically do this podcast by myself, so it's really not imperative that he's here. Ladies and gentlemen, the next part of the segment is quite possibly what I'm most excited about. It's actually definitely what I'm most excited about. If you don't know, you should know... But if you don't, I'm going to tell you anyway. There was a big meeting of the minds in Raleigh, North Carolina, last week, from MLS representatives, U.S. Soccer Federation representatives, kind of a town hall meeting for people to ask questions. And a big report that came out of it was the Triangle getting an MLS, Major League Soccer, again, America's foremost soccer league. The Triangle getting that kind of team is not a matter of if, but a matter of when. So we're somewhat assured that it's going to happen. And you know what? It's a weird thing. It's a weird thing because it's not a basketball, baseball, or football team. You know, Charlotte has basketball and football team, and Raleigh kind of has these really interesting, like, cult following sports, like the Carolina Hurricanes hockey team, and quite possibly now coming the this Triangle soccer team of sorts. And so Julie and I, you know, kind of put it to the test to say, you know, is this possible? Do we think this is going to work? How do we think this is going to work? And then we put it to you, the listening audience. What do we think is going to be the end result here? What kind of branding do we think we're going to see? Do we think we're going to see programs branded to the Carolinas like we've seen before? Do we think it's going to be a Raleigh-specific thing? How is it going to work? Just, like, what's it going to look like? Is it going to be successful? And some ideas for what that team would look like. It kind of issuing a little branding contest for this supposed Triangle MLS team. And we have gotten some fantastic results. I will say that. Julian.
Yes.
Who is back now in the studio.
I'm back. Don't worry.
Taking care of his issues.
He was definitely a flyer. I'll just say that.
Okay. Sure.
Which is
ironic. It's ironic that it leads us into our next segment. Julian,
yeah.
What do you think the best way to go about introducing these teams are?
Well, first of all, and you may have already done this, but I just really want to thank everyone who submitted something.
Oh, absolutely. I haven't done that, but I do want to thank everyone.
Yeah, this is we've asked for input on many an occasion, and this is really the first time that we've gotten some good feedback from people, and we got several people to really contribute, and it's great. We were really excited about that, and everyone really put forth some good ideas, which I think you were just saying. I think that we should maybe
go with the listeners first. And
yeah,
then
and just
ours,
kind of touch, yeah. Give the highlights for each of the listeners, and then kind of go back through and talk about maybe each of our own preferences, and then.
Okay. So how about this? How about I read the listeners' ideas, since I have the inbox open, and then we have a little commentary.
So quick summaries of them.
Summary, and then we have a quick commentary on each, and then we'll give ours, and then we'll kind of wrap it up with what we think is the best idea.
Yep.
Okay, very, very first submission is by a listener by the name of Justin from Durham. He says that he's a native of Charlotte and that he is in love with the name the Charlotte Flight, which is a name that the Charlotte Bobcats have been tossing around switching to. So he wants the MLS team to be named a Flight, to the Flight. He thinks that it's a great cross-promotional sponsorship opportunity for RDU. Also, North Carolina is first in Flight. And he sees that, you know, there's a possibility for mascots being Orville and Wilbur Wright, kind of old school, riding around antique bikes, hang gliding from the press boxes. It's very educational, which I think is fantastic. I love the idea. And he loves kind of the colors of a medium blue. He said, I don't know why, but he says he thinks that won't happen. And then so he also said that he likes the names the Raleigh Riot, the Carolina Cougars, and the Raleigh Rhythm, and he sees a color scheme that handles or follows the Carolina Hurricane scheme, which is an important designation. Now, Julian, I think it's probably appropriate for us to address kind of all the topics involved here. Just because, you know, they're floating around. It's like, now where does this stadium exist? If it exists where the Carolina Railhawks play in Cary, then we're dealing with a Carolina team. We have to.
Yeah.
Yes or no?
No, I think no. I mean, I think there's a lot of, well, these are much bigger franchises, but there's a lot of teams that that are branded for a certain city that actually are outside of the city. They're okay. In the suburbs of the city.
Sure. Okay.
Washington Redskins, well, they were in Washington for a while, but they are, you know, 30, 45 right, minutes outside of D.C.
Okay. Is where the Redskins right, play,
for example. So
made.
I think we
point
can
made.
Still be Raleigh, is my point.
Point made. Do you think it's a better idea to build upon the existing Carolina Railhawks? Listeners, that's the minor league, the next league down affiliate,
mm-hmm.
Or, you know, triangle team that exists right now that has been very successful in the A-League, the next league down from the MLS. Do you think it's a better idea to build upon that stadium or to build an entirely new stadium?
Well, okay, I mean, so we're talking about a lot of things here. But being a Raleigh native, I would love for something to really be attributed to Raleigh for the first time. We don't have anything. This was Carolina Mudcats, Carolina Hurricanes, Carolina Railhawks. We used to be the Raleigh Flyers, which maybe will come up later.
Another minor league team.
That is what it's kind of what the Carolina Railhawks are now. They were the Raleigh Flyers, you know, for a while back.
School, purple and green, great
they were,
team.
They were purple great and team. Green.
They were purple and
green. I thought they were blue. I thought they were like a Duke blue, like a royal blue.
They were most definitely green.
No, you might be right. Maybe they were.
I think they were purple and green.
Okay. Anyways, so I would love for a team to be attributed to Raleigh. Raleigh deserves a team. Raleigh deserves a team. And obviously we have the Hurricanes in Raleigh, but they're called Carolina. So, I mean, Charlotte has the Bobcats. They had the Hornets. So Raleigh should have a team. In terms of a stadium, Wake Med Park, or whatever it's called right now, is 6,000 people. They said they can expand it to 10,000 people fairly easily. That's not very big. I don't know what kind of the projections are for a Triangle fan base kind of supporting an MLS team, but to have a really cool, legit MLS stadium, I think we need to be looking more towards 20,000, 25,000 people.
Okay, so you're in favor of building an entirely new stadium.
Oh, definitely.
I'm also in favor of that. And I do think that downtown Raleigh, the southeastern side of the South Saunders Street split would be a great place for that. A place that looks onto the skyline, a place that looks onto the amphitheater. I think that there's great potential and space there for, and you know, attributing that the transportation hub is going to tie into a very close location there. There is a large potential for people from all around the Triangle to get to the game, either by driving directly from I-40 or from taking the potential light rail to the stadium downtown.
The other thing is, like, putting on an urban planning cap a little bit, it's like a stadium can...
ladies and gentlemen, Julian is in an urban planning graduate school.
Yes. And anyway, I mean, stadiums can encourage a whole lot of economic development, well, development period, right around where the stadium is. And especially with the future plans that Raleigh has for putting light rail in, which Gray just kind of touched on, that if we're putting the stadium, A, it would be awesome if the stadium was downtown, because that would give so much more business opportunities to the businesses that are already downtown, and also encourage a lot more businesses to move downtown, which would make the whole of Raleigh a more vibrant place. But if that doesn't work, if there's not an adequate space to do that, then putting it somewhere else near downtown where there is access to the light rail or to transportation where people can access it easily, and then a bunch of development occurs around that area, and then this kind of becomes this a whole new node in Raleigh. And so I think that either way it could be really great for the city of Raleigh. Cary is not ideal because I feel like they're very conservative in terms of how they want the city to grow, and they don't like a lot of development there. And in terms of making it kind of, you know, encouraging nightlife and encouraging restaurants and bars to go around where a stadium would be, I don't know if Cary would love that idea.
Julian, what about Durham? That's an interesting point.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, Durham is kind of a cult classic city in and of itself, and they love a good minor league or like underappreciated team like the Durham Bulls. Do you think there's any merit in having the team located in downtown Durham?
There's certainly merit, and I think it would work, but going back to just my love for the city of Raleigh, I think it could be a great opportunity to really unite the city.
Right. Do you think those fans from Durham would take the time to travel to Raleigh to watch?
I think so. I think people from Raleigh go see a AAA baseball game. I think people from Durham would come and watch an MLS soccer game in Raleigh.
That's a good point. It's a trade-off.
The other thing is, like, what's...
You could say that, like, an MLS team is kind of equated, like, just with the kind of, like, prolificacy of, like, Major League Baseball, that, you know, an MLS soccer team is kind of on a minor league baseball level as far as, like, how popular it is, the economic drive that it has. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of an even trade-off between Durham and Raleigh, you know what I mean? And it's kind of a way for us to support one another. And we're a triangle, especially with this light rail system joining us together. Mm-hmm. It's a great way for us to show support for one another, to have a Raleigh team, a soccer team on the same kind of financial level as a Durham minor league baseball team.
Yeah. I think the other thing that's great about...
I apologize for interrupting you.
Oh, no, you're totally fine. I agree with all of that. The only thing that I was going to add on to what I was saying before and why I think it would be great for Raleigh to have it is because, like a baseball team, it's a summer sport. And Raleigh being a college town, lots of Carolina grads, lots of NC State grads, Duke grads, everyone cares about the fall and the spring watching football and basketball. The fact that this would be in the summer, because in the U.S., the soccer is during the – well, most of it's during the summer.
We all know the Carolina Hurricanes don't often play into the summer months.
And even if they do, it's kind of over in June anyways. Right. But it would be an awesome and affordable night out for all levels of fans in Raleigh, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we know that the – soccer fandom in North Carolina is probably the greatest, like easily the top five popularity wise in the country, I would think, behind Dallas, Ohio, you know, the Northeast, kind of like New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and some parts out west. But I think that there is merit of having it right off of I-40, kind of where South Saunders Street is, making it easily accessible for those that drive, making it easily accessible for those that ride the light rail. Mm-hmm. I think that it's great that there. I really think a stadium that overlooks downtown would be fantastic.
Yeah,
south of downtown, southeast of South Saunders Street. I think that that's where it should be. Mm-hmm. And so, I guess the question is, do we feel? We can't exclude the Carolina title.
We wouldn't want
to exclude it, but we prefer a Raleigh title.
Yeah.
And we feel like that's an even exchange with the Durham Bulls.
Yeah, I don't think Durham would resent the team because it's a Raleigh title.
I agree. And I think we should move forward having said that. Mm-hmm. So, let's move to our next entry. Our next entry is from Caleb in Richmond, Virginia. Caleb, huge longtime fan of the program, great friend. Getting married December 29th. Great guy. Caleb has been storing up an idea for any kind of minor or major league team, and I have to say that this is with my help because I just think it's a fantastic alliteration. That Caleb wants to, in the same way that the New England Revolution kind of embraces an entire region of insane New England, he wants to attribute an entire team not only to the Carolinas, but more specifically to the Piedmont region of North Carolina. He wants to call the team the Piedmont Push, which is a very retroactive name, which I think would be very popular among soccer fans. Now, I think this is an important time to talk about what a soccer fan is, what kind of people we're talking about. Again, I think this is a very – it's a cult following, these kind of fans that would be very into soccer in the Triangle area. You know, you would have people who, you know, very different interests and just very loyal, a smaller fan base. It's not going to be 100,000 or 200,000 fan base. It's going to be a 50,000 fan base, but they're going to be – extremely loyal, You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
In the same way that the Carolina Hurricanes is. It's the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And so I think that those people would be willing to embrace any kind of funky or maybe a little bit off-base branding of this team. Right? Yeah. The example that I'm going to give is the Portland Timbers. Okay? So the Portland Timbers are an MLS team that's I think that they were expanded, the MLS expanded to Portland maybe 2 years ago, and they have this section of fans called Timbers Army, and they go crazy all the time, and they all wear uniforms and just go, you know, bat nuts the whole game. Every time Portland scores a goal, they saw a disc of a huge timber log off of a timber tree trunk, and it's just like this very like strange, like, I mean, it's not non-traditional cult following, it's very different. So I think that Caleb, you know, however you know, unlikely it is to brand a team for just the Piedmont region of North Carolina, I think that a name like the Piedmont Push has some merit, because it's you know, it's different. It's different, and it's cool, and it's, you know, I think that the kind of people, like, you know, the hipsters in Durham would kind of get behind it. They would be like, I'm all for this kind of retrofitted name here.
I'm not sure that the Triangle is going to have that kind of mentality, like one similar to Portland.
I think it's a little bit too far on the spectrum.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
I think it's moving the right way down the spectrum, but I think it's maybe too far.
Yeah, and we still have a lot of, you know, traditional southerny type people, and maybe they're not the ones that are going to go to these games. But I think it's risky.
Soccer. Their kids That's play soccer, true. And their kids are involved in soccer communities in the Triangle.
Right. I think it's risky to try and target your audience like that specifically right off the bat. When if we're a little safer, there's the potential that, you know, the fan base could be pretty diverse.
Okay. So you think that it needs to be somewhere in between. I think it needs to be following. Safe. You think it needs to be safe, but you also think that there's potential for a lot of because the fan base is going to be concentrated. So I think that there is potential for the fan base to be a little quirky and the branding to be a little quirky.
I'm not sure I see the quirkiness right now.
I think I do, because soccer fans are. Not everyone is a soccer fan.
I know, but I think a lot of people, because it's a summer sport, and Rye doesn't really have anything else going on. I think people are still going to go, even if they're not diehard, and even if they're not quirky.
You think those people would be turned off if there was a quirky branding to this team?
I mean, I think maybe. Maybe. I think that...
You think they'd be turned off?
Maybe not turned off, but I think that it's better to create a team for Rye that everyone can be proud of. That when Rye makes a run in the MLS Cup, that everyone is proud to wear their Rye shirt, and it's not, you know, some really quirky thing.
Okay, so let's
Everyone can get behind the team.
Okay, so I think we've covered... What I wanted to cover was where the stadium was going to be, and I think we prefer a stadium in downtown Raleigh, and then, like, kind of what the fans look like. Let's go to an international listener of the podcast, good friend Casey Prince, who is actually the only listener who's actually played in a professional soccer franchise. So I take a lot of merit in the recommendations that he gives. He said that when he first started playing club soccer, we had the Raleigh Rowdies, the Raleigh Stars, the Raleigh Rebels, although that might have been a women's team. He thinks that the Rowdies is more of a Tampa thing, but the Rebels is a possible recognition. But then he also says that, you know, there is some merit in possibly recognizing the fact that Raleigh is the capital city and going with something like the Raleigh Kings or the Raleigh Knights.
Yeah.
Something regal like that. So he said that he does not like it when teams try to take on European titles like Real Salt Lake and Sporting KC. He just kind of wants it to be, you know, I think that we're seeing from a lot of people that it's like it would be great to have a team that had kind of a classic name. I mean, we just talked about, like, if this was 100 years ago and Raleigh had come up with a soccer team called City of Oaks, like football club.
Yep.
It would just be tremendous. It would be fantastic. It would be so traditional. Yeah. It would be fantastic. But I think in this year, in this time, that a team needs a mascot and that a team is not going to adapt a mascot without it being in the name. I know that we disagree on that point that we'll talk about a little bit more later. And just the way that Major League Soccer is set up with New York Red Bulls, LA Galaxy, it's like every team has a city, a mascot, and then a football club. Or some kind of designation of what kind of club they are. So,
right.
Anyway, I think that Casey is suggesting here that he really likes the Raleigh Rebels or the Raleigh Knights or the Raleigh Kings. Any thoughts about those three names?
Yeah, out of those three, I like the Kings the best. And I mentioned this in our discussion before. You know, Charlotte's considered the Queen City. You could argue that Raleigh's the King City. I'm not sure about the Knights. I feel like that sounds a little bit like a challenge team, and the Rebels has too many racial connotations associated with it.
Sure.
So I think out of those three, I actually kind of like the Kings. I think it could work.
Okay. And, you know, the Kings, I will say the Kings and the Knights, which we'll get to in a second, is kind of an allusion to, the fact that Raleigh was founded by a knight himself, Sir Walter Raleigh. So I think knights could work. I think kings could work. I think they're both kind of on. Well, all right, let's go back. Like Justin from Durham gave us, let's just say his best idea was the Charlotte Flight. What grade do you give that?
Out of one, like, are we doing letter grade?
In school, like we're in middle school.
Charlotte Flight, I give a B plus.
I give it a B+.
Oh, Raleigh Flight. Carolina Flight? I guess it'd be Carolina.
Carolina. I'm sorry, Carolina Flight. I give it a B plus.
Yeah.
I give it a B plus. Yeah. The Piedmont Push, you think it's just a little bit too over the edge?
Too quirky. Yeah.
It's too quirky. I give it an A plus for ambition. I'll tell you that much right now.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as overall effectiveness, I think I'd have to go a little lower on the scale.
Yeah.
Let's just say Knights and Kings.
Yeah. I give them both. Well, I give Knights a B+ and Kings an A-.
You said that you like, okay. Oh yeah, okay. All right. So Kings is your favorite so far.
Yeah.
Okay, let's head on to Jeff from Charlotte. Now Jeff from Charlotte is a heady thinker and a loyal listener to the program, and I want to give him his due. Jeff from Charlotte's and a former Charlotte Football Club stud. Charlotte Blue stud. So I want to give him his due. His argument is that, and we touched on this a little bit earlier, that you're going to have two kinds of fans that are supporting this soccer team. The first kind of fan is going to be a parent who has a child playing in some Triangle Soccer Federation, right?
Yeah.
And these are traditionally going to be your Southern traditional families, right?
Or a migrant that's a Raleighite, you know, from...
Right,
they could have been from somewhere else.
Sure. And then your other fans are going to be kind of your quirky, cult classic, Durham... hipster fans, because soccer is a very hipster sport in the United States right now for the MLS, I think, in these expansion type places. So Jeff thinks that the Raleigh Rebels is a fantastic name because number one, that first group is not going to have a problem with the name Rebels. They're going to be okay with it. They will not have a problem kind of having an allusion to rebelling against the Union. And the second group is not going to have a problem with it because the fact that everyone would assume that they would have a problem with it, they're going to go counterculture and say they don't have a problem with it. And I apologize if I'm not reading Jeff's sentiments correctly, but that's what I took from it. It's that it's like, you know what? Everyone thinks it's going to be a big deal racially. Like, we don't care. We're bigger than that. And we don't associate racial connotations with this name. this is a part of Raleigh, it's a part of who we are, and we're going to stick to it.
Yeah, I think the problem with that is thinking that the Southerners that are going to go to these games are rednecks that are going to be really proud of the Rebels. And I don't think that they are like that at all. I think the rednecks are going to be the ones that think soccer is for girls, and they think football is the only man sport, and they're not going to even think about going.
You're talking about the tweeners. You think we're going to have a steady base of tweeners and hipsters?
Yeah, and then the parents, you know, the
moderates to hipsters is our fan base.
I don't think the rednecks anyone that's going to be really proud of the Rebels and Confederate flag is going to be going to the soccer games. I don't think.
Okay. We have one more, and
from Jason.
I know, it's from Jason from Washington, D.C., and I don't see it in here. I hope that I didn't.
No, I think wasn't it in your inbox?
Yeah, I forwarded it, though, so it's from me. Here it is. Okay, so Jason from D.C. says, if it's a Raleigh team, then I think it should be something Raleigh-specific. Great. We agree, Jason.
Yes.
Thank you. He likes the name the Capitals, although I think that's used for the Washington hockey team. I'm not a huge fan of that. What do you think about that?
I think if they branded it in a different way from the Washington Capitals,
yeah, but
different color schemes.
Broughton High School is the Capitals. I just don't like it. I don't like
that's
it.
That's true. That's true.
I'll tell you what I do like. I really like. Jason mentions that the name of Sir Walter Raleigh, the man who discovered Raleigh, North Carolina's ship, was the Falcon. And so he really likes a name of the Raleigh Falcon.
Yeah.
Football club. Now, he thinks that the MLS would have a problem and make us go Raleigh Falcons and have some kind of Falcon, allegiance. But, I think that this kind of idea of incorporating the Raleigh family coat of arms into a crest and having Raleigh's Falcon, you know, there's possible, ship, like Viking connotation, not Viking, but, you know, like
pirate?
Navigators, kind of like, not
like a Magellan?
Yeah, Magellan.
Explorers.
Explorers, right. I mean, I think it's great. I think, and you know, like those colors are bright red, which of course work with Raleigh's thematic principles. And he wants to work a blue into it. And I think this is a great idea.
I think that's a great idea. I agree with Jason. I do kind of like the Raleigh Falcon
singular.
Yeah, it would actually.
I think I give Raleigh Falcon.
Yeah.
Football club or athletic club or whatever he wants it to be.
Yeah.
A solid A.
I think I do too. You know what? I wasn't sure about it when I first read it, but now hearing you discuss it again, I like it.
I like it a lot. He also gives out a second suggestion of Oak City FC, which we've talked about. Again, first of all, Raleigh's not the Oak City. Oakland is the Oak City. Raleigh is the City of Oaks. And I think that the City of Oaks Football Club would be passable maybe 50, 100 years ago, but I just don't think it's doable this day and age.
Agreed.
So then Jason goes on to kind of reiterate what Justin from Charlotte said, that he likes that the Flyers or the Flight be a part or be incorporated because – North Carolina really is first in flight, and Ohio is kind of encroaching upon that, saying that they're the birth of aviation.
Yeah. Another kind of.
It's time for us to publicly make a statement to combat Ohio.
Yeah.
And to really kind of claim flight as Raleigh's own.
Well, North Carolina's own, anyways.
North Carolina's own. So. I like, let's focus on, because the flight has been discussed already, let's focus on the Raleigh Falcon for Jason from Washington's idea. I give it a solid A. It's one of my favorite ideas so far.
Yeah, I agree. We both already gave it A's.
I would even say Raleigh's Falcon.
No.
No, too much?
No, that's too much.
The apostrophe? Too much?
Yeah.
Okay. Raleigh Falcon Football Club or Athletic Club. Okay. All right, so we've covered all of our entries, right?
Yes, we have.
So we've agreed the Rebels is a little too strong.
Yes.
I will give my suggestion first.
Please do.
I will give my suggestion first. I went with the Raleigh Flight Athletic Club.
Yes. And this is, by the way, before we read any of these these emails and these suggestions. We came up with our own prior to reading any of these, so we're not stealing this idea.
It wouldn't be fair to do so otherwise. And I hope that
it would make us look a lot smarter, but it wouldn't be fair.
Right. And so I came up with a coat, a crest, coat of arms, that has the Raleigh Flight Athletic Club in a circle, and then kind of the Wright Brothers plane shooting through the middle, which I think is subtle, the way that I did it. Not too subtle. I mean, it's not a plane in itself, but it's just a set of wings.
I've seen it, and it looks good. Subtle and good.
And then I've got a set of jerseys, and I've got a color of medium blue.
Which would be similar to Justin's.
For the home jersey, somewhere between Carolina and Duke blue. But I've got propeller blades on the top right shoulder and bottom left stomach area. Kind of a whipping propeller around in a circle.
Okay, I wasn't exactly sure that that was supposed to be a propeller.
It's a propeller, but it cuts off, and I did this in paint, so I apologize for... But it cuts off where the seal is, the crest is in the top left corner, and then the bottom right corner. With white shorts, the away colors, I want to talk about my uniforms because they're very specific. The away colors are khaki-colored shorts with a white shirt and blue trim, dark blue trim around the shorts and the V-neck. The reason why I did that is because it's a little-known fact that UNC Chapel Hill actually housed a Navy pre-flight training program on its campus. And the official uniform for that pre-flight training program was khaki pants and a white shirt. Yeah. So I think that that's an important factor to put in there. My third jersey is the darker blue, not the medium blue, but a darker blue, a navy, if you will, with a dark green shirt, paying homage to the City of Oaks flag, Raleigh's flag, and its colors with the propeller, navy shorts, navy socks. I think that's where my head was at. My head was at that I wanted a team specific to Raleigh, as we've mentioned.
Yes.
I wanted to go to Raleigh Flight Athletic Club. I wanted to include Flight in the team name, the official team name, because I think that that's what is most popular, kind of most common among MLS teams. I think that I understand that Raleigh Football Club, like Dallas FC or FC Dallas or whatever, it's possible. But I think a nickname is easier to integrate when it's a part of the official name of a club. So I wanted to integrate that into the official name. I think in England and other places, it's easier for a team to get a nickname, like Manchester United, to get the nickname Red Devils.
Well, it's also been around for like 150 years.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So I feel like you need to jumpstart it by including it in the name of the team, right?
Right.
And so...
And a lot of those nicknames aren't even really official. It's just what everyone... Right. What people call them.
So let me explain to you kind of like... I've explained to you my crest, my name, my uniforms. Let me explain to you some thematic ideas. Because I just don't understand why more professional teams, especially in a cult sport like soccer, are not more thematic. So picture this in your mind's eye, Julian. We got the Raleigh Flight Athletic Club, and I didn't go football club because I didn't want two F's in a row. I didn't think it sounded right. I said Raleigh Flight Athletic Club. We have a section of fans directly across from the bench. So they're facing the benches. All right? Diagonal. Or they're completely stretched across that side of the field.
Yeah.
Not the goal side, but the sideline of the field.
Right.
And they're 10 rows back. So you've got, you know, almost the entire length of the field wide by 10 rows back. It's called the flight deck. And everyone has leather helmets and crazy goggles. And they have the glowing sticks that people wave. They wave planes in and direct airplane traffic with. I mean, it's just, it makes for an environment where everyone can be a little bit crazy, and coming out of the tunnel is an asphalt colored carpet that has landing strip lights and jet just blowing out when the team, you know, comes onto the field. I think that with a sport in America that has such a strong cult following, again, you're not trying to obtain the masses. You're trying to attain a very loyal 50,000, that you need strong gimmicks. And that's what I went for. And I agree with I'm gonna steal Justin from Durham's ideas, that I think that you have two mascots, Orville and Wilbur Wright, flying around in bicycle pedal motorcycles with old-timey costumes, maybe not like regular human size, but maybe like mascot size. I mean, I think the more branding you can do, the better for this.
Yeah. I mean, my initial reaction to that is, like, I understand the argument, but it seems like a lot. It seems like a bit much to me.
A bit much?
Yeah. I'm still on the side, and maybe I'm being too optimistic for how many people are actually going to want to watch the MLS team. Maybe you're right. Maybe we need to do this. But my opinion right now is that I still, with the size, Raleigh keeps growing. There's a lot of people there. And with how many people have their kids in soccer, I'm not sure that we need to be that gimmicky to get people to go. And I think
that's the buzz of the MLS. The Portland Timbers are the buzz of the MLS because of the Timbers.
But Portland
Army
is a bunch of people that don't care about any sports. Where, I mean, we're still a little more sport savvy in Raleigh than Portland, probably.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I just don't see the harm in the gimmick. But go ahead. I'm sorry for interrupting.
I'm kind of on the fence. Like, I see where you're coming from. And I think that they're, to have a theme like that is good. And we definitely need mascots. And I think to have a specific kind of crazy fan section is essential. I think all the stadiums have it.
So you're agreeing with everything that I've said.
Well, but then maybe not so much making people. Well, I guess you're not ever making people. But the flight caps and the landing strip.
I mean, scarves. Like, all aviators wear white scarves. Like, it's not that hard to do. You can give them the little the glowing red sticks in their hands. You can give them those.
I feel like it would be. Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure I would try that stuff right away.
Premium seats, Julian. Those are premium seats.
Yeah,
No. And it's not forced upon them. It's like, you know, you have to gradually work that in.
I think it would be nice to see kind of what happens organically a little bit,
too.
Yeah,
exactly.
And where the momentum
goes. Exactly. Like, you've got, like, a smaller section that commits to be there every game of 100 fans. Maybe you even get college students who have internships, free tickets for a 200-person section. And you give them costumes, like, not costumes, but you give them the leather helmets and the goggles and the white scarves and the you know, air traffic wands for free, and you see that people like it, and then you start growing it and growing it. I'm not saying that you force it on people right away. I'm saying that this is an organic growth, but the branding potential is there for it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not anti.
Okay, I'm sorry. I know you're anti. Give it a grade.
What? Give the whole theme a grade?
The whole theme.
Everything.
The name, the logo, the team. Okay, first of all, give the name a grade.
Okay,
Flight Athletic Club.
Here's what I'm going to say about your name. I'm okay with the flight. I think I gave it an A- before, right?
I don't know what you gave it before.
Yeah, when Justin brought it up, I gave it an A-.
Carolina Flight, okay.
Maybe I gave it a B+. I can't remember what I gave it.
You gave it a B+.
Okay, so I gave it a B+. Here's the thing with Athletic Club. I think that that's another thing that's really cool if it was made up 100 years ago. But
I just didn't like Football Club.
I understand
Football Club in Raleigh, do you go Soccer Club?
You could. I think Soccer Club would be better than Athletic Club. Athletic Club was literally like a track and field club like 200 years ago, and they eventually got a soccer team, and so they called it Athletics.
I think it's quirky enough to not have negative response.
Yeah, but I feel like it's confusing. Everyone's gonna be like, "Why is it called Athletic Club?" I mean, like,
they're not. But it's gonna be called the Raleigh Flight. They're not even. You're not even gonna see the AC.
Yeah, but when they do, they're gonna be like, "I thought it was a soccer team."
Yeah, but then people will be educated about soccer.
They will.
Yeah, they'll be like, oh, there's a team.
These same people that you have to, like,
whatever,
dress up in, like, flight stuff are going to be really educated about soccer?
That's such a secondary, like, tertiary point. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think I don't think athletic club works. Okay, I think fine. I think it would need to be football club or soccer club.
Okay.
I do want to brand it as a club, regardless. I think that's essential.
It needs to be a club.
I think that's one element of European soccer that's important.
I'm fine with changing it to soccer club. I'm fine with taking an American stance on an American game.
I think so, too. I'm okay with soccer club.
Lots
Everyone calls it soccer.
Countries call football by their own unique, voetbal in the Netherlands. You know, it's like, let's call it soccer here. Why not, right?
I agree. I have no problem with calling it soccer. I call it soccer.
So the Raleigh Flight Soccer Club.
Yeah.
The RFSC.
Yeah, I think that's better.
Okay, all right, that's fine. Give me the thematic principles, a grade.
The whole flight thing?
The whole flight thing, yeah. Give me a grade on it.
I mean, I told you that. I already told you. I feel like it's a bit
much.
You're
a B-plus on it. You're a B-plus on it.
A-minus max.
Okay, that's fine.
Maybe like a 92.
You like the Raleigh Falcon better.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do like Raleigh Falcon. I'm not huge on the flight.
Okay. Fine. Yeah. Fair enough. I personally think it's time for us to take a stance and tell Ohio who's boss. So I think this is a good opportunity for us to do that.
I just feel like the flight sounds like a women's team.
But I don't know why you say that. I've heard you say that in our initial discussions of like... Flight can refer to, like, a conglomerate of anything, like a flight of beer, or a flight of people, or, like, a flight of planes leaving. I mean, it's, like, so many different things. I think it's very applicable. Like the
No,
Raleigh
I mean, I'm
flight,
sure I'm, a, I'm the, sure I'm
even
like,
even if you just take
minority.
Raleigh flight out of its own context, just the Raleigh flight, it could be Raleigh's group of people doing something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. So give it a grade.
I'll give it a
B plus.
I'll give you an A minus. Just
A minus, B plus, A minus.
Yeah, we'll slash it. We'll slash it down the middle.
Sure. Same grade. Okay. All right. Give me what you're walking through.
My theme.
Give me your theme.
Okay. So what I'm thinking is I kind of am taking a different stance on the color theme. A lot of people are bringing up blues and reds. And that's understandable. The Hurricanes are red already. They're red, white, and black. I know Justin and Gray both wanted some shade of blue, and their argument was to make it in between Carolina blue and Duke blue. Some kind of like middle shade blue. That's going to be subtle, in my opinion. I think a lot of people are still going to call it Carolina blue, and a lot of NC State fans are not going to like it if that's the case. And my vision here is really to get a team together that unites Raleigh and even goes as far as uniting the triangle, including Durham and Chapel Hill. Chapel Hill is kind of in its own world a little bit, but I think people would still come for games. Durham is kind of feels like it's a little bit closer. And so I feel like I said, the blue is, I think a middle shade blue, people are still going to consider it Carolina blue. And
I don't disagree with that.
And so, yeah, like I was saying, I really want to unite the triangle. So my theme is going to be green. I want to go green. And basically my whole theme is surrounding the City of Oaks that we talked about before. Raleigh is considered the City of Oaks. And I think green is a neutral color that NC State fans can get behind, Duke fans can get behind, Carolina fans can get behind. And everyone can wear green and not feel like they're betraying their college team. So going with that, I mean, I kind of envisioning a middle tone green, something that definitely looks green, not too dark to where you're like, is that dark gray? Is that black? But it's definitely a
green. No, you want a forest green.
Yeah, like a Michigan State kind of thing.
Yeah, just like on the Raleigh flag.
Yeah. Okay, so there's another element, too, that ties into the green. And I want the crest to be an oak tree, a simple oak tree in the middle.
I love that.
And Basically, I would have the letters. Now, I'm one of the people that would love for it to just simply be Raleigh FC. And Gray knows that I'm big on that. However, I do understand the argument that...
I would, too. I'd love for it to be that. I would absolutely love for it to just be that.
No. But if we're going to have to do a mascot, my initial thought was to maybe go Raleigh Flyers. Now, that's the team that we mentioned before that Gray is reminding me was green, actually.
Green and purple.
Well, I'm not sure I want this Raleigh team to be purple as well, but definitely green. So the Raleigh Flyers would incorporate the elements of flying. It would be similar to the flight. It's a little catchier in my mind. It kind of flows a little better.
I'm not going to disagree with that off the top of my head.
And I think you could still incorporate a lot of the flight elements, but then also keep kind of blend everything. And then it's the City of Oaks and then bringing in the flying element as well. But honestly, with Jason's idea of the Raleigh Falcon, I mean, that's pretty cool sounding to me.
So, but the problem with the Raleigh Falcon is, do you go Falcon themed?
Yeah.
Or do you go, like, old-time England Explorer themed? Because people are going to want to go Falcon themed. Like, people are going to want a falcon in the crest.
But here's one thing that would be cool. No, I would still, regardless, I want an oak tree in the crest.
Okay.
I mean, I think we could do one of those, like, dual things, like Carolina's the Tar Heels, but our mascot's a ram. We could be, like, Raleigh Falcon, still have an oak tree crest. And then have a falcon as the mascot.
You could have Sir Walter Raleigh's crest with an oak tree in the middle of it. Something like that. You know what I mean? Like the outline of an oak tree in the middle
of
it.
Or you could blend it all in the crest.
Blend it all together.
Yeah, have the oak tree and the falcon all together.
Sure.
I would be okay with that.
Sure.
It's
kind of like an old thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But, so I don't have any bold ideas in terms of the stadium layout as great it.
See, that's and ladies and gentlemen, that's just the way that I think. I think gimmick. I think thematically. I think that the more, especially in a sport like soccer, the more engaged you can get people, the more thematically consistent you can get your viewers, the better off you're going to be. You know, I mean,
yeah, but there's a risk that people are going to be like, this is lame if you're too gimmicky.
If you're going to a professional soccer game...
You're kind of selling your fan base short.
If you're going to an American professional soccer game, you are not going to think something's lame. The Portland Timbers
Yes, I would think that was lame. I would think that was lame.
But they don't. They love it. They go crazy, and they're
yeah, but those are Portland hipsters. We're not Portland hipsters.
They're nationally heralded as the greatest soccer fan base in America.
Yeah, because they do weird stuff.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
but I don't think Raleigh's
going to
do that. I don't think Raleigh's going to do that. We're not the same people as Portland.
I think Raleigh can be as passionate.
I think our people are not
going to.
I think we could be passionate, but I don't think we're going to buy into something weird like that. I think it might turn people off.
Okay, so glow sticks that look like wands. that look like flight deck wands. Maybe not scarves. Scarves.
I'm okay
no
with that.
Helmets, no glasses.
It'd be cool if everyone wore white scarves.
That's what I'm saying. You give out white scarves.
No, I'm okay with that, but there's a line. And I think there were things that were crossing the line in my mind. Something more subtle, like everyone, or like a
you
certain fan base is wearing white scarves. I think that was cool.
You work to it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the scarves
like
is something that people could do right away.
You work to a section called, like, the flight deck, where everyone is, like, extremely passionate.
The other thing is it's going to be really hot, so no one's going to want to wear scarves.
Well, it's going to be at night, first of all.
Still pretty hot.
Could
it's going to be in July.
Could be hot. But soccer fans are so crazy, hooligans, they don't care.
In some places, they are.
They just want to support their team.
Raleigh is going to be a little more civilized.
Could be.
I think.
It's possible. Soccer jersey and a scarf. I don't think you're going to be too hot on a crisp Carolina.
Let's not forget that we have a decent Latino population in Raleigh. They're going to be there.
Yeah.
They're going to
be. They would wear scarves. They think it's freezing here. Racist. I retract that statement.
But they're going to be there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm just thinking about the fan base again. What?
I'm just thinking about the fan base. No, I think that's exactly what we're trying to do.
But I just don't see us being this weird fan base. I know that it's like that in some places.
Would you go Raleigh Flyers Soccer Club?
Yeah. I'd do that. I'd be fine with
that. I'd compromise instead of Raleigh Flight Soccer Club. I'd go Raleigh Flyers. Mm. But I still like my thematic elements.
I like some of them.
Okay.
So. I like the section of fans. I think that it might be better at first to have the section behind the goal so it's more concentrated and like...
Yeah.
That way if it's a smaller group, it doesn't look like silly. Ridiculous. Like sure. One row of people.
Sure.
So... And maybe they can set the, like, light those little flares. Well, that's another airplane thing, the flares. Those things that they do, the red fire things.
Shoot them up in the air?
Well, they do them in, like, European soccer games where they, like, it looks like someone set it on fire. It's, like, red and green. You know?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, they don't shoot into the air. Right. It makes, like, red smoke.
Yeah, we could do that. How about every time they score, we shoot off flares into the sky?
Well, these aren't flares that you're shooting.
I'm just saying.
This is a different kind of flare.
We shoot off flares from the corners of the stadium into the sky.
It's a different kind of flare.
I'm just telling you that this is what I want to do.
But that's separate from them setting flares on.
I agree. Yes, okay. I agree. Separate. But yes, right. I think that every time we score, we should shoot off flares from 6 points in the
stadium. Like they're
stranded
in the middle of the ocean.
Exactly.
Even though they probably didn't have flares back when the Falcon was cruising the Atlantic.
It doesn't matter. We're the Flyers.
What does that have to do with it, though? Flyers don't... Do they send flares? No. I guess maybe if they parachuted out of their airplane and landed in the ocean, they would.
Absolutely.
So a stranded pilot.
No, let's not think too deeply about this. Let's use anything we can find here.
All right, it just seems like it's getting away from the theme there, if it just starts being random flares.
Let's let people write in comments to navybynature@gmail.com and tell us what they like. How about that?
Yeah, that's fine.
Because I don't think we're going to find a consistent element here. I don't think we're going to find one. And it's
You don't think me and you are going to agree? Is that what you're saying?
No, I think that we could, but I don't think we're going to tonight. And if they came out with some great, like, hey, we want the public to submit ideas, I don't think we would have... I think we could come to a compromise and have the same ideas, but I think ideally we'd like to have our own ideas, and I would be happy if your idea was chosen because I think it's a good one.
Thank you.
And I would hope that, I mean, I don't know if you feel the same way about mine, but like, I think your idea is a good one. I like mine better because it's more gimmicky, and I think that's what soccer needs. I think soccer is...
That's where we're kind of, to an extent, disagreeing on that point.
And I think that highlights our difference in soccer experience. I mean, you are the kind of soccer fan that is embedded into like a club that's been around for a really long time. It's very traditional. Like you have, you know what I mean? And like my soccer experience in America has been gimmicky. It's been very like flighty. You know, not to use that as a pun, but you know what I mean? Like it's. Yeah. The Capital Area Soccer League, you know what I mean? It's like, it's very deliberate, and that's my approach to this soccer team.
And maybe you're right, and maybe I don't understand, you know, the marketing that needs to go in.
Don't sell yourself short.
I'm not saying that I'm changing my mind. I'm not changing my mind.
Sure.
I'm just, you know, playing devil's advocate, you know, maybe I am being too optimistic or not... You know, too optimistic in what type of fan base is going to buy into a Raleigh MLS team, and maybe I don't understand the marketing that is essential to being for an MLS team to be successful. I still would rather that my way worked.
That's what I would want to happen. In my opinion, I don't think anyone's ever suggested an idea for a sports team that's been too lame. We had a professional sports team in. Extremely successful, most successful attendance-wise in America, sports team in North Carolina called the Charlotte Hornets. It had a giant hornet named Buzz as the mascot, and they were purple and teal green.
I don't think that's that. I mean, I don't think that's in the same realm. I mean,
those also made. You weren't giving people buzzer sounds to throw out or anything like that.
People weren't putting like stingers on their butts or like wings. They weren't putting wings on.
It's not the same thing. Scarves are not wings.
Yeah. I mean, scarves would be cool. I said that. But I mean, I think it's going to be too hot.
They're very light.
Unless they're like really thin. Like,
they're
I don't know what material
so
that would be.
They're made
like
out of the
wicking,
worst
wicking, like Nike wicking scarves.
Well, that's expensive. I think these would just be made out of really cheap.
They could be
material.
Really, really cheap wicking material from like a crappy company.
I gotcha. Let's wait to get some feedback. People, please give us some feedback. Please write us back at Navy by Nature or at least comment on the website so we know what you think. Tell us what you think about our grade of your ideas. Again, we liked everyone's. There were no bad ideas out there at all. No. We didn't give anybody less than a B, I don't think.
No, we're not going to do that anyways.
Yeah, but I would. I would definitely do it. I just thought we had good ideas.
No, everyone had good ideas.
Submitted a ridiculous idea. No, even Jeff from Charlotte, who submitted the idea about the Raleigh Rebels, is that, I mean, I think that's kind of ridiculous, but I think that there's something to be said about it being...
It definitely added a lot to the discussion.
It did, certainly absolutely, did. And we appreciate that.
Brought us down the road of discussing our fan base and more
Julian,
in depth.
Julian, I have a question.
Yeah.
That I'd like to lead us into our question segment with.
Are we still doing
really good. It's a really good transition from this. It's a short question, too. Short question.
Okay.
Is it more acceptable for a man to cry at a sporting event or a movie?
Sporting event.
Sporting event.
Definitely.
Everyone that I've talked to has said movie.
Really?
Yeah.
What's there? Because there's a lot more people around in the sporting event?
It's dark. You can't see.
Okay, well, so that's saying the point of view that no one else in the movie theater knows you're crying.
Because
I was kind of taking
it
like...
That's not fair.
Right. Because I feel like I was taking it like if you were to tell everyone,
right.
You know, or like a bunch of people knew that you had cried at both movies.
I think we should.
Okay. So everyone knows?
Everyone knows.
Okay. I mean, well, then I'm obviously saying sporting event. That's why that was my whole argument before.
Okay. Yeah. Here's my answer. Sporting event if you win, but not if you lose.
Okay.
I think if you cry at a sporting event if you lose, which I have done.
I think I have to.
2008, North Carolina Tar Heels losing to Kansas in the Final Four. Definitely cried that night.
That was a rough game.
I have witnesses. I think it's more acceptable to cry at a sporting event if you win. If you lose, I think crying is out of the question. Because it's a sporting event. And it's not that important. And I think that movie would come before sporting event loss.
Sporting event's not that important. But a movie, on the other hand, that's important. It's not more important than a sporting event. It's not even real. A sporting
sometimes,
event is real.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's nonfiction.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe if it's like a documentary of a bunch of people, like a horrible situation. I'm not going to give an example.
Sure.
Maybe that's more appropriate.
Sure.
But, like, a fiction movie, there's no way that that's more real.
Did you cry the last Harry Potter?
I don't know. I don't think so. I was with you.
Maybe a little misty-eyed?
I probably got a little misty-eyed. Just because it was sad that it's over, you know?
It was sad that it's over. You're right. I was sad, too. And I didn't even read them.
Yeah, I've definitely cried at both. I don't really cry during movies. But I feel like a sporting event about a team you really care about, I think that's acceptable.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't look down on a guy. A team gets knocked
out
talk
about, like,
in
Bubba
a heartbreaking
Watson.
Fashion.
Well, listen, Bubba Watson won the Masters on Sunday and bawled like a little baby child.
Yeah,
and
I saw that. I actually watched
him,
just the playoff.
I don't think any less of him because of it. I think that guy's awesome. I love this guy. I'm glad he won the Masters. He's great. He's crying.
Well, it's also different when you're the one playing the sport.
It's a little bit uncomfortable. Well, sure.
It's different when you're playing. Sure. No one's gonna fault an athlete for crying after a win or a loss.
Well, if Bubba Watson was your favorite golfer of all time, he's never won a major before, and wins the 2012 Masters, and you start crying, people would understand.
Yeah. So yeah. You agree that it's sporting event now?
I've always said sporting event.
You said movie.
I said sporting event if you win, then movie, then sporting event if you lose.
Oh. No, it's sporting event, both. I mean, yeah, winning, I think, is more acceptable.
Agree to disagree. Whale's vagina. So, do you have a question?
Yeah. It's going to sound so random now. There's no transition to it at all.
I mean, should we save it? Do you want to save it?
I mean, it's about aliens. We're going to save it.
Save it. Okay.
Yeah.
That's it. Let's call it a podcast.
It's been an hour and 35 minutes.
It's been long, but it's been good, I think.
I hope so, too.
I hope the listeners enjoy it. We certainly thank everyone that's still listening.
Yeah, we do that at the end of every podcast because we kind of have a feeling that no one's listening anymore.
We've never had anyone thank us for thanking them. I can tell you that much.
Yeah. But this was the first time that we really had some input to discuss. And
I think the soccer team is a big thing, and I think that at some point there's going to be a solicitation for input from the community, and I think we'll be ready.
Yeah.
I think we have three solid ideas to present.
Yeah.
I agree. We have a Sir Walter Raleigh-centric idea, an Oak-centric idea, and a Flight-centric idea.
It's true. We could, yeah. And they could make a vote out of those, pick the best of those three, and then make the public vote on one of the three. And then would we have the public vote on colors?
I think that they would, yeah, I don't know.
No, I think we just choose the colors.
I mean, at the end of the day, you hire a branding firm to do all this stuff.
What do you mean? You mean it's not going to be me and you?
I mean, Raleigh hiring.
Maybe we should start a branding firm so when this comes around.
Here's what I think we should do. I think we should buy the domain names. Raleigh Flight Football Club. Raleigh Flight Soccer Club.
Just buy every possible option.
Carolina Flight Football Club. Carolina Falcon.
Just make a list of like 50 possibilities.
Hey, man, they're $10 a year. We could spend $100 and make thousands of dollars.
Maybe.
It's quite possible.
It's slightly possible.
RFAC.org.com.
Yeah, we'd have to think of a lot of possibilities. And then we would obviously vote for the ones that, you know, we had already got the domain names for.
Right.
And we'd set a whole movement in the city just for the one that we had already bought the name for, so we could make money.
We can do that already.
We should start trying to ask around and try and figure out if anyone is stepping up to try and make this happen. Try and get on board.
I think that we should come up with a name that we can really get behind and a crest and start a movement.
Yep.
A Facebook group. That people can say, yes, I'd love for there to be a Major League Soccer team in Raleigh. I would go to games.
I could do a parcel.
You get 500,000 people? I don't know. See what happens.
I could do a parcel data analysis, GIS analysis, to figure out where we could, potential places we could put a stadium. Which would be cool. Or not. Where did you go?
Hang on. I got cut off. My transit headphones got cut off. What did you say? A parcel GIS data analysis?
To figure out where we could... The potential sites for a stadium.
Great. I love it.
We could have a whole presentation.
I want you to do that.
If I work for the City of Raleigh GIS department again, they give me so much free time, I could probably just do that.
Sure.
Last summer.
I think you should on your own accord.
Yeah.
Julian, it's been a good podcast. Why don't you close it out for us?
This has been Navy by Nature. great player, Julian Bird. And we thank everyone for your input this week. We thank everyone for listening, especially if you could listen the whole time. Let's all keep thinking and hoping for an MLS team to come to Raleigh. And we'll try and keep you posted on any relevant news along that front. And yeah, listen again next week. And have a great week.
Appreciate it, guys.